You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramillo, credentialed reporter, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts, to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off on your next order. Training camps are open. Individual workouts have begun, and you've got questions about the Miami Heat. I'll be answering some of them over the next few days. Yesterday, I tackled who starts and who finishes, and if Jimmy Butler has anything left in the tank this season, so make sure to go check out that episode. Today, I'll be talking about Precious Achiuwa, the team's chemistry, and the goal of the regular season. But first, some news. On Tuesday afternoon, the Miami Heat revealed their Vice Versa jerseys, the latest and final version of the Vice Edition jerseys that have been so wildly popular, successful for the team. And I think it's been mostly positive. I think you're starting to get a lot of, I'm not sure how to take it right away. And then you kind of slowly start warming up to it. I feel like there's a lot of people who always kind of jump the gun a little bit and are first to say, no, believe me, I love these. You know, it doesn't really matter what my opinion is. They're going to sell a shit ton of these jerseys because that's just the reality of it. I've talked to people on the sales side, and they are very proud of that jersey and the jersey sales and the various editions of the jersey. So it's interesting. It's fun to see so many people get excited about it. I know there are people even within Heat Media that love the release of the jersey, that think it's incredible to see these things pop and have all this color. I start to feel my age every time because I'm just not of a mindset where I'm going to wear anything that's neon colored. And I see all the people who do love these jerseys, and I think to myself, what am I missing out on here? But again, my opinion doesn't matter. You're here to talk basketball. It's not really about my fashion sense or lack thereof. That's probably more accurate. But he also made available Kendrick Nunn and Precious Achiuwa on their first day of media availability. I believe that Tyler Hero and KZ Okpala will be available on Tuesday. So that's, well, that should be interesting. Wednesday. I'm completely thrown off here. Starting training camp on a Tuesday and 4 days of these individual workouts, I've totally lost my mind. Not with the coronavirus and our schedule being what it is, I have no idea of what day it is most of the time. And so, I'm a little thrown off. But in any case, so yeah, Okpala and Hero will be talking to media on Wednesday. We'll see if we get any clarification. But again, none available and Achiuwa available on Tuesday. Videos of those should be up on Heat.com. I thought about downloading them, and I got access to them from Heat PR, and I thought about splicing in some of the audio, but I don't know that there was anything that really stood out. It was a little different. This is the world that we live in now. We won't have the same kind of media days that we did before. Reporters around the league have been talking to players at various spots throughout the teams. Throughout the NBA, and so you're not going to see a lot of, the same kind of interaction that you once did. But I think we start to also get a sense of where these players are at individually. For Nunn's sake, he seems like he's really positive. Hats off to him. He was really open about the diagnosis of COVID-19 at the start of the bubble, how it kind of took him about 3 weeks to get him back into what he considered NBA playing shape, and that he was never quite ready for perhaps the toll that the bubble took on him. At the same time, he's also very cautious and wants to make sure he follows protocols, because as the season resumes, he knows that he can catch it again, and he's concerned about that. He's also looking forward to perhaps starting again. He was asked whether or not the re-signing of Myers-Leonard might have provided some glimmer of hope as to whether or not Eric Spoelstra would trot out the same starting lineup that was so successful for most of last regular season. Of course, that included Kendrick Nunn alongside Duncan Robinson, Jimmy, and Bam. We'll see. My feeling is that Nunn is replaced by Tyler Hero in the starting lineup. I think that's the next evolutionary step for Hero, who's a much bigger priority to develop than Kendrick. And that's not a knock. I think that's just the reality of you're a first-round pick. You're an unsigned player. I think you were going to invest as much time and money as possible in what Hero could do. It's often a game of trying to find the right fit and making sure that you maximize, as much as I hate to use this term, your investment in a player in person. So we'll see how it happens. For Achiuwa's standpoint, though, I got to say, it kind of leads me into one of the questions I had going to training camp, which is what his contributions are. He seems like he is ready to go. Maybe it's just all the rookies kind of, you know, they've been champing at the bit here. And that's how it is pronounced, by the way. Pet peeve of mine. It's not chomping at the bit. It's champing at the bit. Doesn't make any sense. It's an old expression. It's basically about horses and the bit that fits in their mouth. In any case, that's just me. I don't want to be grammar police, but I am an English and journalism major, and that's kind of who I am. So in any case, as far as whether or not these rookies were champing at the bit, they are going to, you know, they're very, very excited to get back to work. And I think a lot of people had concerns about whether or not these rookies will be able to make an impact. Leagues are trying to be very cautious and apprehensive about investing too much thought about the rookies being immediately impactful because they're not going to have summer league, because they're not going to have the weeks of work that normally go into or normally precede training camp. That's true. Achiuwa has been doing the work. I think a lot of rookies have been doing the work. It's not the same thing maybe to be shooting around in a gym, but I think as much as, you know, players probably would have continued playing all the way through the tournament and, you know, maybe taking some time off before getting back into it and trying to build their stock up and things of that sort leading into the draft that normally would have taken place in late June, I think players have been pretty active. I think it's kind of nearsighted or perhaps a little disingenuous to think that players haven't been preparing. Achiuwa looks ready. He looks lean. He's been training with Andrew Morin and Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero reached out to him. That's something Precious mentioned, that Hero reached out to him. That's interesting that a 20-year-old like Hero would reach out to a 21-year-old in Achiuwa and say, let's get to work, baby. And it was just interesting that this is the leadership role that Hero has kind of taken on there, which is another reason why I think he'll continue to start and be a centerpiece of this team moving forward. But he's training together. You've already seen the footage on Instagram. It's, you know, I think Achiuwa has a role to play here. I'm not quite sure what it is. I think, again, I would count on him playing and not being the typical rookie that's stashed on the bench. And I think my feeling is that perhaps I'm a little bit too much embedded in the version of this team that was Pat Riley's vision for this group, as opposed to what Eric Spoelstra likes to do. And again, maybe there were shades of that in 2008 through 2014 with the Big Three era. That's not the case now. If you're a rookie and you can play and you can contribute, you'll get minutes. There might be a logjam at your position, but I think Eric is at a point where he can clear some of that out or find a way of making the most of a player's abilities. Achiuwa is a solid defender. He's explosive. He's versatile 1-5. He'll learn quickly. I don't think that there's that much of a learning curve for him as much as some people might think, at least defensively. Offensively, he can't rely on that athleticism all the time. He's a little raw, a little unpolished. So I think he'll have moments where he'll be inserted in there in defensive-minded lineups where they need to get a stop. I already made the case for him being the fifth player in the defensive rotation towards the end of games if you need to stop someone. I think that's fair. I think that's realistic. Offensively, he's got to continue to put in the work. He's got to stretch the floor a little bit, have a go-to move. We don't need another version of Bam that can't do it. Anything from the perimeter or doesn't have an established go-to move around the rim. That's not a knock on Bam, but it's also the reality is that you need him to be able to develop something a little bit more consistently, a go-to shot, because you can't just continue to rely on athleticism throughout the course of your career. It's early. Achiuwa's only 21. There's plenty of time for him to expand his game. But I think for now, we'll start to see a lot of him playing defensive-minded lineups. He'll get probably some minutes towards the end of halves. If somebody's in foul trouble, if Bam's in foul trouble, or if Bam's injured, I could see Spoelstra making that weird thing he does where he inserts somebody deeper on the bench into the starting lineup. So you could possibly see an Achiuwa Myers front court alongside Jimmy and Duncan. That would be kind of fun and interesting. As a rookie, you're not going to have high expectations for him. He's probably not in the rookie of the year chase, considering you're going to have players like LaMelo Ball on a bad Hornets team putting up as much shots as possible. That's his strength. That's what he does. From Achiuwa's perspective, he's not putting up the gaudy numbers that even put Kendrick in that conversation last year. So to me, he's not going to be that kind of a player, and you shouldn't expect him to be. He's going to work hard. He's going to try. He's going to develop. And that's part of what Heat culture is. And that's, I think, a big part of what fans love about this team and about this version of the team. Coming up next, was the chemistry that we saw last season real? I'll talk about that next here on Locked On Heat, the number one Miami Heat podcast for all your rumors, news, and more. You ever get into that weird place where you're not quite ready for a meal, but you're still a little hungry, you just want something to snack on? Well, let me give you the answer that you might be looking for. Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar ever, and it's exactly what you're looking for. The improved Built Bar is more delicious than ever. 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones. Still so good. All of them are really, really good. They're all covered in 100% chocolate, so they're soft and easy to chew. One of the things that I like about them is that I don't even know that I'm eating a protein bar. It feels like I'm eating a candy bar. They're that good. And they're healthy for you. That's the best thing, too, is that I don't feel guilt. I don't feel any of that self-consciousness that comes with it overindulging in a snack. If you're looking for a good snack that tastes good and is healthy for you, Built Bar is a solution. They're low in calories. If you're looking to maintain weight, and you still want to indulge in a delicious treat, if you're a health-conscious person, Built Bar are the answer for you. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. So use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Throughout the week, I'll be continuing to answer questions as the team builds up towards the start of training camp. Make sure you're up to speed by subscribing to Locked On Heat on your favorite app to listen to podcasts and always get the newest episode. Later on, I'll be talking about the goal for the regular season because I think that's somewhat debatable. I'm curious to hear what your thoughts about the subject are. But for me, I think another big concern I've got is whether or not the chemistry that we saw last season is sustainable. And I always seem like I'm reiterating this, or perhaps I've made too much of this, but having been in that locker room and seeing the players interact with one another and seeing what other teams were like, I have to say, Miami probably had one of the best on-court, off-court chemistries that I've seen before in my limited experience. I am not perhaps the same kind of veteran reporter that has been covering the team for 30 years. But at the same, I have to say that I think that what I saw, having a pretty strong gut instinct about people in general and understanding what it's like, it felt like it was a very sincere appreciation. Maybe part of that was, I think, Jimmy coming into an unknown situation and immediately getting a crash course on what quote-unquote Heat culture is from Udonis Haslam. Myers coming in there with that infectious enthusiasm, corny as hell, a little loud, a little boisterous, a little bit too much wrestling personality, and so what? It works. It's fun. Goran playing so well aside from Jimmy. Like, they formed this incredible friendship, and everybody else kind of just find a way to not just fit in, but just grow and learn. And yeah, there were bumps along the road. There was Deion and James and even Olynyk and his playing status. But I think overall, there was a lot of positives there. But going into this season, I want to see whether or not it's going to reproduce, because I think you're going to start to see some wear and tear there from an emotional perspective. The difficulties of the Orlando bubble are probably still lingering in the background. I don't think anybody's quite moved on yet. That was 3 months of their lives. That ended just over a month ago. And here you are restarting already, getting back into it, trying to figure out your role. And look, this is a job. We have to consider that possibility. As much as we like to say this is fun and a game and these are, you know, players that are winning for our benefit as fans and media and things of that sort, well, that's not true. They're trying to make money. They're trying to prove themselves. They're competitive. And yes, they do like each other. I think that is sincere. But you also have players like Kendrick Nunn and Duncan and others who are looking to prove themselves, and Tyler Hero. And you wonder whether or not we'll start to see some players bristle or resent how many minutes somebody is getting over them. You add in new veterans like Bradley and Harkless, who are on one-year prove-it deals, trying to stay and make a case why they should be a part of the league in years to come. It's not so easy. You know, I don't have to keep referring to Pat Riley and the famous disease of Moore, but that is a real thing. It does happen. You will see players grumble about playing time, about shots, about things of that sort, and I wonder how it all plays out here. Like, I think the expectations for last year, and I'll talk about this more in the next segment as well, they were different. Yes. Heat culture. Yes, the team always says, we're looking to build a championship group all the time. But nobody really believed that was the case. I don't even think internally they had those expectations. They started to see it work very well early in the season. And yes, it fit well. It was exciting to see a different brand of basketball other than dumping into Hassan Whiteside and watching him try to plow his way through three other defenders only to put up a weak shot at the rim. You know, it was fun to watch a pass-happy offense that could stretch the floor with Duncan and Tyler and Goran and, it's, you know, everybody there. To see the offense run through Bam and for Jimmy to be doing what he does so effectively. But I wonder whether or not we'll start to see changes in the offense because of changes of personnel and whether or not we're going to be able to reproduce what worked so well last year. Look, it's part of an honest evaluation of what was so fun about last year and watching that team mesh so well and play and surpass their expectations and then know that maybe there might be a target on them this season, that maybe some people will say, oh, you were the Eastern Conference bubble. Maybe you were just a fluke. Maybe we want to show you up. Maybe we want to prove themselves. This isn't a team that's going to take anybody by surprise. No one's going to be shocked about what Bam Adebayo does defensively or offensively. No one's going to be, you know, giving Jimmy his fouls. They're not going to try and put him on the line anymore. And while they may not have been able to stop themselves last year, perhaps they'll be a little bit more aware of it, you know, again, even from a referee perspective. Tyler and his antics, maybe they rub people the wrong way. I don't know. Like, I'm just supposing things. I'm just putting them out loud here. But I don't think it's going to be as easy for this team to duplicate the success that they had last year, even though I think they are as good or better. Even though they had some key losses there in Jay Crowder and Derrick Jones Jr. and Solomon Hill to a lesser degree, I think that they are still a good team and perhaps a little bit better, but other teams made improvements and other teams see this Heat group and understand that there's a lot at stake by trying to beat them and prove yourselves there. So I do have some concerns. From a chemistry perspective then, how does that play out? Well, maybe, you know, you get beat up. Maybe you're traveling a lot. Maybe you're stressing. I have all the factors going on, not just in the NBA world and your job, but in the world around you. We saw those take their toll in the bubble, too. And, you know, if those losses start to pile up because a player's injured or because a player contracts COVID-19, then that makes things even more tricky, more sensitive. And you can start to gripe publicly and through the media. And you know, that makes things a little less pleasant in a locker room that seemed to always be thriving on their harmonious nature and their support of one another. And look, even judging from Kendrick's calls earlier today and Precious talking about his relationship with Tyler Hero and how much it meant to him and how much he's looking forward to working with Jimmy and Jimmy reaching out and things of that sort. Like, I'm not playing devil's advocate necessarily. I do have concerns about it being just as easy to duplicate. But I do think that more likely than not, we'll probably see a team that gets along very well with one another. It'll be interesting. Nonetheless, I do have concerns, but I think that there's probably some positive trends there. And I also want to think that, you know, that maybe this team will be able to figure it out and continue to make adjustments because they've shown the ability to adapt so well last season, and perhaps they'll be able to duplicate that this year too. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. Nobody is prepared for this. Don't convince yourself of otherwise. And I certainly don't want to be the kind of media person that sounds the alarm or lets you know what's going on. But I also want to be upfront and honest and say there is no way of predicting exactly what's going to happen. It might change. It might get completely weird. It might return to some sense of normalcy. But for now, we have no idea of how it's going to play out and what the stress of the shortened season is going to be like. The only comparison we have is the lockout shortened season from 2011-12. That was difficult, but we were viewing it, at least I was, through the lens of the Big Three trying to continue to build their championship success, you know, because they had lost the year before, because everything was different. This doesn't feel the same way. This isn't about, you know, arguing about dollars, although money certainly plays a factor here. There are health concerns, legitimate ones, that are going to be changing how teams play, how teams win. And I think that's something to consider moving forward. But what's the goal of the regular season? Is it just to win as many games as possible? Or is there something bigger and better at stake here? I'll talk about that next here on Locked On Heat. reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. You can always reach out to me. I do want to hear from you, especially now that the season is gearing up. Send in your questions, send in your comments, leave reviews. That's the kind of feedback that I thrive on, and I incorporate that as much as I can into the show. So please make sure you reach out whenever possible. So what's the regular season goal? Like, it seems easy, right? Like, that sounds so superficial to some degree, but I think you need to have some kind of a plan. Again, as I mentioned in the previous segment, the goal for last season was not a title. Yes, you say it. You know who else says that they want to win a championship? 29 other teams. When the season starts, everybody's giddy about it. The media day vibes are about teams that are saying, you know what? Yeah, we blew things up. Yeah, we're retooling and tanking. But this team is much better than a lot of people think. We're going to win a lot of games. We're going to show people that we're good and capable and a strong group. And you know what happens? Everything falls apart. You win 19 games. It's a brutal, brutal season. Players get hurt. Nobody starts off a season looking forward to losing, and yet losing happens every season. I don't think it's going to happen with Miami, obviously. I think this team is much too talented, much too well coached, and has too many good players on there to allow that to happen. We saw what happened last season as far as, yes, you exceeded expectations early on. You retooled the roster around the trade deadline for a number of reasons. One, to clear out some potentially bad personalities, but also some bad contracts, to bring in players that might have fit better with your short-term goal because, well, you saw the hope that you could be a very, very good team. I think you acquired Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala with that mentality in place. But given everything that's happened here, and also, as you probably heard in the last episode, I think that there'll be another playoff bubble in effect next season. I really do think that that's likely to happen. It was just too successful. You can't afford to have players succumb to injury in the middle of a playoff run or COVID-related illness in the middle of a playoff run. You want to try to minimize that as much as possible. So I would think that they would probably try to recreate that. I don't know if the numbers work. I don't know if the Disney Resort system is going to be another available option. There's a lot of other factors there. I think they try to reproduce something similar to it. But as far as what the goals for this season are, I have to say I don't think you should be focusing on winning as much as you possibly can during the regular season. I don't think it matters as much. One, because of the bubble, because nobody has home court advantage if there is, in fact, a bubble next season. But also because, you know, you have a shortened season and things are going to be so, so strange. And I think the goal is similar to what Eric Spoelstra has said in the past. You want to play well going into the playoffs. You want to have good habits building up. And if those good habits have you at around, you know, 50 and 22 at the end of the regular season or at 40 and 32, you know, I think you want to be closer. If you're, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're at 40 wins or 50 wins, as long as you're having those good habits build in an upward and positive trajectory by the time the playoffs start. And that was probably worded a little poorly there, but I think you understand what I'm saying here. That the wins themselves don't matter. Seeding in the playoffs won't matter as much, whether you have the bubble or not. You want to be able to continue to be a better team. And think about it from this perspective. Even if there's no bubble, even if travel is allowed, there's a very good chance you're not going to have fans in the arena next season. There is no home court advantage other than perhaps knowing, you know, where the soft spots on the court are and things of that sort. I don't even think that those exist to the same degree they once did. Nobody's playing on the Boston Gardens parquet floor where there were nails sticking out along the baseline. And if you didn't watch yourself, you would probably, you know, lose a foot or something. This isn't the same kind of situation taking place here. The home court road warrior mentality, I think you try to win as many games as possible in the playoffs, regardless of whether you're playing. And yes, maybe you have an advantage. Maybe you have a whole lot of home cooking with referees and officiating going your way. I think more often than not, the home court is somewhat of a myth or overstated as far as it's important. It's not the court itself. It's the fans swaying referees and officiating and building off some of that energy and noise. You're not going to have that. You know, whether you're in the bubble or not, there's a good chance it's not going to happen next season. Again, I'm not reporting anything. My feeling is that we will not have fans in the arena at any point this season. And given all that, I think you want to try and stay healthy. You want to continue to build positive habits. You want to do everything you can to incorporate players, develop them, and have them prove themselves by the time the playoffs roll around. I think you want to try to get as many minutes as possible for Precious, for Tyler, even for the veterans like Harkless and Bradley, because you're going to rely on them at some point. And yes, you have hard decisions to make. Once the playoffs resume, Eric Spoelstra has already shown that he's capable and willing. That's something I'll talk about in a later episode this week, is how much he's willing to change and stay a little flexible when it comes to rotations and lineups. But I think overall, you want to continue to build the base of what makes this team so good, so strong. It's depth. Even Kendrick Nunn talked about that in his Zoom call earlier today. So I think it's a clear advantage for this team, and not the kind of weaknesses has been in the past where there were so many players and nobody understood quite what their role is. This isn't that. You've got Bam. You've got Jimmy. You know where you fall in line. You just have to play your game to the strongest of your ability, and I think you find a way to do that. Well, that's it for today. Remember to check out later episodes this week. I'll continue to answer questions about this team as they get ready for the start of training camp. Remember to get your team every day just by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat as soon as you get in your car. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you as always for your support.